Hey everybody, since you may have missed my NaNoWriMo boot camp, and NaNoWriMo is getting closer and closer, you might be interested in my How to Prepare for NaNoWriMo at the Very Last Minute, which will be October 30th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. You can prep an awful lot for it, and you can do it at the last minute. I'll tell you how to do that if you check me out at speakeasy.com. The link will be in the show notes. But I've only got 50,000 words to go before the end of NaNoWriMo. It's Nano Prep 2, Electric Boogaloo. And I'm going to say Electric Boogaloo after the numeral 2 until I die. This is I Should Be Writing episode 70 for season 17. Well, I should be writing. Hi there. My name is Mer Lafferty. I use she, her pronouns, and this is I Should Be Writing. It's a podcast for wannabe fiction writers, and it's the longest running podcast that there is. And I don't say that enough, because I'm pretty damn proud of it. Been going since 2005. If anybody else can claim longer, that'd be great. I just have, far as I know, there just weren't any. It's me and Mike Stackpole. But anyway, enough tooting of my own horn. This is a podcast for wannabe writers. We talk about emotion. Sometimes we talk about craft. Sometimes we pay a lot of attention to NaNoWriMo. And we like to celebrate good news here. If you have good news and you are listening to this later, feel free to email me and I will read it on the next recording. So what I've been up to is I am trying to get up to speed on my new project while putting the old projects to bed. So I have a lot of still edits to do and new stuff to do, and I'm gathering a bunch of research materials to do the new stuff. And someday I'll be able to tell you about it, I hope. But that's pretty much for me. Tuesday nearly broke me. It was a lot of stuff for most of the day. So if y'all have any good news, let me know in the chat. Now's the time. I don't have good news except I'm still here and healthy and things are looking up in general. So, yeah. Let's see, we got Kids Are Asleep is here. Good news, I got another draft of my next novel cover and it's so good. It has a billion space cats. Wow. When will you be able to reveal it, Kids Are Asleep? Let us know when you can release it. You could put a link in the chat. I don't think you can put an image in the chat, but if you're ready, when you're ready, whatever. But also remember, please, that rejections are considered good news around here. So if you have a rejection and you hate it and it stings and you're upset, you don't want to tell us, that's cool, but just remember that being a rejection means you're a working writer. And that is, it's part of the crap, it's the crappy part of the job, but it's part of the job. So if you're getting rejected, you're working. And that's more than a lot of people do. Okay, the cover isn't final, but I'll reveal when it is. But I got the yay button anyway. I was chatting with some people on Discord, and they were suggesting merch that was a yay button. Not quite sure how I'd make that happen, but I can look into it. Why not? I survived a release, finalizing documentation tomorrow. That's great, Lee. That's a lot of cats, K Kimmy. Wow. Are those all the same emote creator, or did you just grab all the cats you have access to? I don't know. Yeah, I think I overdid it on Tuesday, but I really didn't have a choice because a lot of the things that cropped up were already scheduled or involving a group, so I couldn't just reschedule, or meeting with a new client, which, since it's new, you really don't want to reschedule that. Or the class I took, oh, I didn't take it, I gave it at speakeasy.com. I did a 90-minute class on NaNoWriMo, and it was a lot of fun. I'm going to be doing another one that's more of a boot, no, that was the boot camp. This is more of a last-minute panic attempt at NaNoWriMo, and I'll be doing that live on October 30th. So it's kind of silly to be presenting this way ahead of time, but if you do find yourself holding off or not knowing what to do or not prepping, and it gets to October 30th, please come check out the class at speakeasy.com because I'm gonna try to help you through it. Yes, I will be attempting NaNoWriMo again. I've already signed up. I've put in my sample novel title. We'll just see how it goes. Also, if you're new, it's a running gag that I help out people with NaNoWriMo a lot, but I can never win. Never. So that's why I'll be trying to help people out near the end of the month. You can find me. I still don't have the speakeasy button up. I think of these buttons I want to put on my stream deck, and then when I'm done streaming, all the ideas go away until it's time to start again. And I'm like, well, I'm already late, so I can't program my stream deck now. I'll do it when it's later. So I gotta write that down. So in the chat, how many people are gonna be doing NaNoWriMo? I'm curious. Let's see. Dice Lily has more cats. Wow, the cat emojis are a big thing now, apparently. The Rhoda, Raven's Creations, Underpope, Star-Eyed Green. Kurt hasn't had a reason to chicken out of Nano yet, so I guess my decision to do it again sticks. Kids are asleep is. Kids are asleep, how are you approaching it? Are you doing a new novel, or are you just going to try to take what you're working on now and add to it? They used to be really strict about that, and now they don't seem to be as strict, which is kind of funny because as a project that's 100% honor system, it's weird that some of those rules are there. I mean, I think the 50,000 words at 12:01 November 1st to 11:59 November 30th, that is a challenge that shouldn't be messed with, but sometimes the you have to start a new project, or I don't even remember. I think they've always said you can outline. Anyway, Libra is not this year. Work has not slowed down for 18 months. Oh my goodness, yeah. Do the self-care. NaNoWriMo can wait. All signs point to yes for Shale. That's great. Your work in progress is almost done starting a new novel. Wow, kids are asleep. That's amazing. That's great. I'm not jealous at all. I had the weirdest jealousy. I was watching a video of someone I admire on YouTube, and I saw in the background one of N.K. Jemisin's books. And N.K. Jemisin rightly won the Hugo for best novel the year that I was up. And I didn't feel jealous then. But seeing somebody I admire with her book on their shelves and not mine, that made me jealous. It's just ridiculous. I don't know what it is. But notice it's jealousy and not envy. I'm not sure if this is the way across the board, but I see jealousy is I would like what you have. And envy is I would like to have what you have and you not have it anymore. So, just making that clear. Carla Dia, I'm not, but I need to get my writing pretty soon after my new parent hiatus. Wow, yeah. Okay, Kimmy's doing a variation. Are you doing crafting again? Kids are asleep, supports all Nano Rebels. Yeah. Hey, Catwood, good to see you. I've been watching video essays on Paradise Lost to kind of get the brain gears going. That's fascinating. Huh. Yeah, I should probably look on YouTube and see if anybody's doing Milton Talks, because I would like to get back into that mindset. And maybe I could actually learn something on my own. You know, when I wanted to go for my MFA, a bunch of people asked why. And I'm thinking, I want to learn? I mean, yes, I could learn myself, but as we've established, I have ADHD, and it's really hard to move forward on something completely new that might have a learning curve when there's nothing at stake. So, shoulder jelly bully needs to go into the place where things are put and forgotten. Your bully is shoulder jelly? Wow, that's horrific. I like it. Ah, blackout poetry. Right, you said that last time. Sorry, KKMe, I forgot. Where does one find web essays on Paradise Lost? I was just going to go to YouTube and search. Yeah, I miss learning all the time. Darn kids don't appreciate it. I know, man. Yeah, okay, well, we will end the good news part. If you have good news and don't want to talk about it, or you have what I think is good news and you do not, I'm still pushing the yay button for everybody. Just keep you in my thoughts. So yeah, this time, NaNoWriMo Prep 2 Electric Boogaloo. Funny thing is, as I was driving home today, I had a thought of how I wanted to structure this. And of course, it flew away. I think I'm, for myself, I'm going to have to spend the next 2 weeks really focusing on solidifying my schedule. Because the new project is probably not going anywhere for a while, which is great. I've got work. But if I want to write on my own stuff and do the new project, I'm going to have to get really, really stringent with my edits. Or rather, stringent with my schedule. I'm sorry. I guess I needed another day after that 14-hour Tuesday workday. I know at least Raven's Creations has heard this, and I'm sorry about that, but there's, one thing that I consider very important when it comes to NaNoWriMo is people say they do, you know, how they find time to write, and you don't find time, you make time. If you're trying to use NaNoWriMo as a jump start to start a writing habit, or start a new big project, bigger than you've ever done before, you need to look now, right now, at your schedule and see where there is recreation, where you're awake but really tired, where you could skip hitting the snooze button or skip lunch with coworkers or skip computer game or TV time. You need to find a spot that you can sacrifice something that maybe you can get it back in December. You know, you don't have to write every day. If you could rearrange your schedule for November, get your writing done, and then when December comes, you can write only on the weekends or only on days off. Or, you know, it's one thing NaNoWriMo could do is also help you figure out when you're freshest to write. I was talking to the kids are asleep about this, and we were talking about when we think our brains are most open to writing, and we have different cycles, which is interesting, but I like to write in the morning, but I'm easily distracted, but I will say that oftentimes the ADHD thing of finally realizing how close something is, like going to pick up my kid at school. That was a great time to write because I'm like, I haven't done anything all day. Oh, crap. And then get a lot of writing done. But I don't think that's a natural place my brain automatically goes to because I'm usually kind of sleepy in the afternoon. I have a friend getting me $31 gifts wrapped to help a goal of write every day. I'm excited to see what she picked out. That's a neat idea. It's like an advent calendar for NaNoWriMo. The real problem is Numbers Ninja went off to college. Got it. Yes, exactly. Catwood gets me. That's right. That's the real problem. Has nothing to do with my discipline or willpower at all. We work best when we're supposed to be doing something else. Yeah, pretty much. So the awkward question is also the people in your life, especially if you have people to care for, and that's going to make finding time even more difficult. I want to say I think it's possible, but honestly, I don't know your situation, and there could be times when it's impossible. There could be times when you could carve out 30 minutes to write, but you're probably not going to get your 1,600 words in that time. But still, working on something is better than not working on it. So if you don't get your 50,000, maybe you get 15,000. If you wrote 500 words a day, am I doing that right? Yeah, 500 words a day, you'd have 15,000 words at the end of the month. That's not shabby. At all. NaNoWriMo.org has a lot of information, a lot of pep talks, a lot of videos from writers. So if you feel like you need somebody who doesn't say all the time cheering you on, you can check them out because they have a lot of people they've tapped to write something to help beginning writers or amateur writers or wannabe writers or whatever you want to call it, to get them going and producing awesome stuff. Or just stuff. We're not judging. That's what November is not about. Double negatives are awesome. I'm a professional writer. That's what NaNoWriMo is all about, Charlie Brown. Yes. The practice of doing. That's what November's about. Not doing something great. It's just doing. And the number of times I've had to tell myself that is a large number. I mean, I admit I have put pressure on myself that I'm like, okay, well, now I'm a pro, so this should be pro-level writing where I can just polish this up and send it off. And that both is wrong, because at least lately I've needed a lot of edits, but also it's not allowing myself the freedom that I'm encouraging you guys to take on, which is the freedom to write absolute crap. The worse, the better. Make up a new language. Have an alien land and have them say like three or four pages worth of words, which is basically just your cat walking across the keyboard. You can do that. Kids Are Asleep is a municipal liaison. Isn't that right? That's municipal. M stands for municipal, I think. Anyway, Kids Are Asleep has been doing the guiding liaison thing for a while. If you can tell us anything special or that you knew, you wish you knew when you got started, or anything new going on this year except for the lack of in-person events. And of course, people can get together and write, but NaNoWriMo is not endorsing it. And crap includes cliches, as I learned on Tuesday. Thank you, Raven's Creation. I appreciate that. Yes, you can do cliche. You can do descriptions of a feast, music, clothing, banners, sex, an argument. Flashbacks are great. But yeah, I've thought about being a municipal liaison before, but A, haven't won it, and B, I do this. I do the daily podcast thing, and that's a lot of work. And this year I really hope I can get it done, all of it done in October, so I can focus on the writing in November. But I don't know. Right, you said Nano HQ has a lot of stuff planned and they always run sprints on Twitter. So follow NaNoWriMo.org on Twitter. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming their username is NaNoWriMo. I'm sure if you look around, you can find it pretty easily. But, right, I was going to get a Discord invite for the NaNoWriMo Discord that I'm hosting. You do not need to be a Patreon supporter. You don't need to give me any money at all. But this is where I'm inviting people to hang out during NaNoWriMo. And I won't remember to put that in the show notes because I think I forgot it. No, don't put it in the Discord, Mer. Come on. There we go. And I will put that in the show notes too, if you're listening to this later. You can use the link and enter the Discord. If you're not familiar with Discord, it's a pretty easy chat program to use. And it's got one thing I love about it is the fact that people have written really, really sophisticated bots. I assume it's sophisticated. I actually don't know. But the bots do a lot. So, they'll time your word sprints. They will keep track of your work in progress, word count. They will give you flip a coin for you or do a magic eight ball, stuff like that. So I my problem is I don't go there as often as I should, the word sprints thing. And so every time I go in there I forget the commands. But that's a me problem. Let's see, NaNoWriMo on Twitter, Nano Sprints, Nano Word Sprints, okay. Nano Word Sprints are the Twitter account to follow for the sprints. Shards 1993, hello for the first time. Hello back at you. Thank you for the follow. I saw that happened a little bit ago, but thank you for the follow. Welcome. Kurt says, talking about crap. Two characters discussing whether or not a werewolf loses their clothes or not during transformation and whether or not it comes back after the wolf phase. That's 2 days of 1666 works. Easily, if you need them. Yeah, pretty much. Having two people argue about something ridiculous, like something they could look up on their phone in 2 seconds, that's a good use of like half a page at least. And apparently Kurt can stretch it to 2 days. Wow. Yeah, you just gotta remember. I mean, I think about the epic fantasies that have been in love with their own voice, and people love it because the storytellers are good. So, like Martin talking about, you want to know what this family's banner is? Okay, I'll tell you everything. And then I'll tell you the banner of the next family. And now let's talk about food. So yeah, it's a common trope of epic fantasy, but it will help you in NaNoWriMo. And I do want to say, Kurt, the thing that popped into my head about the whole werewolf clothes things, there was a series of fantasies by Jennifer Robertson back in the 80s. The Chase Sully series, which is sort of, now it's like, I don't know if they age that well because of appropriation and First Nation people, but I devoured them when I was a teenager. One of the things they can do is if you're of royal blood, you can change into. You find an animal familiar and then you can take their form anytime. And when they are not the animal anymore, they have their clothes. And I don't know if the author got complaints or questions or what, but at one point I remember the explanation is, oh, everything you're carrying goes into the earth. And then the earth gives it back when you change. And I'm like, I hand waved a lot of clone technology. I really can't fault you for that, but yeah. I admit I do like when authors explore color and what color means and what color means to whom, because that's a Victorian flower thing almost, the Tussie Mussies, how different colors of different flowers mean different things. And I think there was a Melanie Ron's Sunrunner series has, when all, you know, in the denouement, there's a person trying to dress, trying to play matchmaker and be very subtle with what she's dressing the women in, because there's like the colors of her house and then there's the colors of the house that this woman wants them to marry, and all these sort of subtle messages in the dresses and the earrings and the jewelry. Earrings are jewelry. Anyway, and I swear I ate that up. I can't deny it. I did. But that was reading many, many years ago, so I don't know if I could go back to that either. Tor.com is doing a reread of Sunrunner. Sunrunner? I can't remember what they're called, but Melanie Ron Sunrunner did that. You'll find it. And upon reading, I was reading the commentary, and it's like, yeah, the main character doesn't have a lot of agency. She just lets people move her around like a pawn. I'm like, damn it, you're right. These are some of my favorite books. Meh. Gotta find new urban fantasy where people make decisions. Where's Matt's book? Matt's book's behind the green screen. Anyway, I got way off topic. No, I didn't get off topic, because I'm telling you what fills pages, and that is color, food, arguments, sex, all that stuff. Agency is overrated. Yeah, just let people... It's the hand of God. That's what it is, right? The hand of God? Deus Ex Machina. And that's God in the machine. What's the hand of God then? Oh, well, that was the Deus Ex Machina of the Stand. Sometimes I worry I get too lost in the weeds for a lot of things. And especially when it comes to talking about... Especially when it comes to my podcast and stuff like this, because sometimes it's, I think I worry about stuff too much, and then I just think that if I just turn on the mic and go live, I'll have something. That's not always the case. And I'm feeling that today a little bit, because my brain is just really slow. But and Underpope wants to summon evil Myrrh. Okay, we're summoning evil Myrrh. Let's see. I believe this one still has... Okay. Oh, thank you, Catwood. We're summoning evil Myrrh now. Advice number five. Advice number five is... Evil Myrrh says, name your characters with the same first letter to encourage alliteration and people will say you're poetic. Put triplets named Rachel, Rosemary, and Rebecca in every book. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Also, name things after people that are close to you, and tell them it's an honor when you have them committing some terrible crime, or... Yeah, committing a terrible crime. Or very boring characters named after people in your life. Those go over well, too. So it's just an honor to have your name in the book. Honestly speaking, this is why the Tuckerization that I give out, and I think Scott Sigler does as well, is for dead people. Or just about to die, because I tried... Will Ralston, who's sometimes in the chat, got a Tuckerization, and I... put his character in there, and then I realized that the character was not an immediate death and was becoming an actual character, and then I started getting confused because I kept using his name, and I said, dude, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to change it, because now that I'm playing with this character, all I think of is this person I know, not the character I'm trying to create. But NaNoWriMo. NaNoWriMo is an absolute waste of time. It is, you know, if you haven't been writing your entire life, you're not going to start now just because some person in California says you should. You should start writing about 10, 15 years ago. You're wasted your life. Nothing will jumpstart you. And I don't even know why you're watching this. Sometimes Evilmer makes me feel bad. How was that? Did you like that, Evilmer? I don't think I've said this before, but Rachel, Rosemary, and Rebecca did go to my high school. I think Becky got off the easiest because she had the easiest one to nickname. Getting lost in the weeds is how you notice to work on the garden or something. Yeah, well, it's also how your dogs get snake bit. So, I don't know if that's metaphorical or not, but that's what happened last week. So dark. Evilmer was dark. Oh my god. Love when I catch Evilmer right off the bat. Hey, Assyrian. Evilmer is really evil. Grimdarkmer, evil. Evilmer is extra today. I'm sorry, folks. I want to give everybody a hug now. Okay. DNF is do not finish. There's somebody put on Twitter today, you know, it's that classic, I'm going to say something absolute on Twitter today and everyone's going to tell me I'm wrong. Somebody was saying that you owe it to an author to finish their book and do not finish or DNF. I think that phrase came up from Goodreads where people were rating books and putting your own tags on it. And I didn't finish this book, so DNF. I'm going to guess that's where it came from. And I thought that was ridiculous because if I feel it's a waste of time and it makes me angry when I feel like I have to keep reading something I'm not enjoying. And I will admit that I had to read some classic sci-fi when I was getting my MFA. And those were some of the best papers I wrote because I was so angry at finishing these books. So that, you know, served me. And I did learn. That's what the goal is. What have I learned from this book with the way the author wrote it? I did learn some things, but it didn't make me like the book anymore. I think when people read your book, you have made them a promise with your first chapter. And if you don't fulfill that promise, or you don't look like you're going to fulfill it, then they're going to see that as a betrayal. And I know I'm using these intense words, but we all know that reading can make some pretty intense emotions. So someone's feeling obligated to finish my book, and they don't like it. They've already guessed the killer. Or they don't care. That's almost the worst thing. It's just when they don't care. I would rather them not finish it. Because if they're angry after feeling forced to finish my book, they're also probably going to go to social media and trash it because they just get their ire up. And they might tag me. And I promise you, that will ruin my day. I am a fragile flower. So it's, I am all for DNF. I don't want to waste anybody's time if you're not liking my book. And there will be people who don't like my book. There will be people who don't like your book. If you want to ever get a boost of confidence, go read the one-star reviews that Neil Gaiman gets, the Bible gets, that Lady in Scotland gets. There's no one book for everybody. Despite what the Gideon family wants you to think. Underpope says, every author I follow on Twitter thought it was ridiculous. Okay, that's good. And notice that too, life is too short to waste time on books that aren't for you. Yeah. Reminds me of a teacher that told me I needed to read at least 3 chapters of a book to really get into it. I would probably say 1, 2 if there's a scene change. and like new characters to meet. Because, I mean, Martin does something weird with his prologues. His prologues are very long, and they always show someone dying in a way that is important later in the book. But, you know, you get this big, detailed story of these people and their setting and how cold everybody is in the north and how they're losing ears and toes and stuff. And then there's this guy who everyone gets slaughtered. So that's cool. And then you find out what happens later on in the book. But it's a little off-putting when you get invested in these characters. You go, okay, this book is about these guys. Okay, not that one because he died. Okay, not that one because he died. That one ran away, maybe. Maybe we'll get his story. Oh, no, he dies in the next chapter. Okay. So, it's a very difficult rope to walk. But now I'm talking as a writer. Talking as a reader, you know, I'll know pretty quickly if something's really going to catch me. Sometimes I give books another chance. There are several books that I have given another chance and have been glad I did. But, yeah, just so much dissonance between that advice to readers and the hook 'em right away advice given to writers. Yeah, it's hard to hook people in a book, though. Because if you present something very exciting, people are going to wonder why they should care. I mean, are we looking at the antagonist? Should we be glad this person's running away in through the night, in the rain, bleeding, and barefoot? Not a lot of villains end up that way, but, you know, could be. But yeah, the give somebody three chapters, and that'll let you know. I'd say a little bit less. Maybe I'm just too picky. I don't know. I just got a bunch of books again. I got, should have brought them up here to put them on display. I got Jason, I can't think of his name. Another Jason's last name just cemented itself right there and I can't get away from it. Sanford, I think. Is that right? The guy who does the genre Grapevine? I think it's Jason Sanford. I'm very embarrassed right now. His new book, Plague Birds, came out, and that looks amazing. And I got something for Numbers Ninja, so I can't say that. But yeah, there's like, Cassandra Caw has something that looks utterly horrific coming out later this month. So good stuff coming out, and get them while you can. Shop for the holidays early. We're hearing a lot of stuff about paper supply problems. I have been going for quite some time. I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast. If you'd like to hang out and chat with us, we meet 3 o'clock Tuesday, Thursday, Eastern Time on twitch.tv/mightymurr. Or if you like listening, then you can listen to the whole episode at patreon.com/mightymurr and support at $1. I don't require much. I just appreciate the support. If you prefer to support via Twitch, you can subscribe. If you prefer to support via Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/mightymurr. And if you can't support or don't want to, I don't hold that against you. But if you like what you're hearing, please leave a review or tell a friend. And I will see you next Tuesday as we inch closer to the end of the month. And you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at Murverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Watch
watching Doctor Who. I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.